Chapter number 5, I appreciate the opportunity that we have to look at this portion of Scripture. I appreciate church members who are on cue with what we're doing. And what do I mean by that? Well, someone came in this morning and said, Pastor, I thought you already preached 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20, but I see on the bulletin here that you're preaching. I said, yeah, I'm preaching it again. But here's why I like it. It was an encouragement to me. Why? Because it was 2 weeks ago that I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and someone remembered, hallelujah, amen, and someone said, I thought we already looked at that. We did, but God wouldn't let me get away from it just yet to look at verse 21. Lord willing, we'll do that next week. Verse 21 is a favorite verse of Scripture, just a wonderful truth that God gives us. But let me read to you to remind you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at verses 18 through 20, and during that message 2 Sundays ago, as we looked at this portion of Scripture and looked at those 3 verses of Scripture, we talked about really 2 thoughts. Number one, the privilege that is ours to be an ambassador. And then we said this, not only is it a privilege, but then we talked about what the purpose was. What is the purpose of being an ambassador? And we looked at those 2 points specifically, but we look at chapter 5, verse number 20. I want to read it for you again. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We note it from this passage of Scripture that being an ambassador requires that we're active, not passive. We said this also, that being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ is more than simply sharing a gospel tract with someone. I said this, I'm all for giving out gospel tracts. We have them in the back. We order them regularly. I do it. It's something that we should do. And there are times in which only we may be able to, or the only thing we may be able to do is give a gospel tract, a waitress, an attendant somewhere, at the clerk at the store, etc., etc., and we may not have the opportunity to engage them in conversation, but I said this, and I didn't mean it to come across in an unkind way, but just the reality is this, we have not been called to be God's marketing agents. That's not what God called us to be. God called us to be His ambassadors. And I preached that message 2 Sundays ago, and God just, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, wouldn't let me get away from the thought, and then took me to Proverbs 13 and verse 17. And the Bible says in that passage of Scripture, in that verse, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief. But then the end of the verse says this, as often you find in the book of Proverbs, a contrast in a single verse of Scripture. The Bible says this in Proverbs 13 and verse 17, but a faithful ambassador is health. A faithful ambassador is health. As we look at the message this morning, we look at this passage of Scripture, I've titled the message, A Faithful Ambassador. And I want you to think about this morning. As we look at this verse of Scripture, the Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who is the we? Well, the we is all of those that have been redeemed, that have already been reconciled. We cannot, we've been given the purpose, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. But those that have been given the ministry of reconciliation are those that have already been reconciled to God. We have been reconciled. Remember verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul experienced that in his own life. He experienced the power of the gospel as he got saved and God changed his life. And he expected that those that he was writing to in the church in Corinth, just as he had had the opportunity to preach the gospel there, that they too, after trusting Christ as their Savior, that they were these new creatures. They had that experience in their own lives. And so Paul, as he says, now then we, plural, are ambassadors for Christ. Paul understood, as he writes in many of the letters that he writes to churches and even to individuals, that his office was that of an apostle. He understood that. But we find that he also understood, as through the Holy Spirit giving him the words to write, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that he was an ambassador for Christ, but he does not say to the church in Corinth, I am an ambassador. He says, we are ambassadors. And the question that God just kept bringing to my heart and my mind as I was looking at this passage of Scripture is this, and really, if you wanted to use a subtitle for the message this morning, I said the title is A Faithful Ambassador, but a subtitle might be this: what kind of an ambassador are you? What kind of an ambassador am I? Ask the question personally. See, the reality this morning is that we are ambassadors. But could I say to you this morning that we could be good ambassadors or we could be bad ambassadors? There are some people that fill the role. We talked about the appointments of being an ambassador for the United States, going to a particular nation and country. There are some that fail in their responsibility, and they have to be recalled and replaced, right? We see that. The reality this morning is that we are ambassadors, but the question is, what kind of an ambassador am I? Am I a faithful ambassador? Am I a slothful ambassador? You start filling in the blank, all these thoughts and questions. So this morning, as we consider the thought, a faithful ambassador, and looking at the truth that we are ambassadors, it's like this. The Apostle Paul says, as he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, he tells him to be a good soldier. And I said this last year as I preached through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. The reality is that we're all soldiers. If you're saved by the grace of God, at that moment of salvation, you were enlisted into the Lord's army. And the question is not, am I a soldier? The question is, am I a good soldier? I don't want to be content with just being a soldier. Paul says to Timothy, he doesn't use these words, but he says to be a good soldier. I don't want you to just be a soldier. I want you to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think about this truth of being an ambassador this morning, the Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 17, a faithful ambassador is health. And we can look at that from a variety of applications this morning, but I want to specifically look at it from the perspective of being an ambassador, as we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20, with the purpose of fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation. How is that health? Well, because we're taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to an individual that is at variance with God because of their sin, and we have the opportunity to go and to plead with them to be reconciled to God, and it brings health, it brings salvation, it brings this miracle of being born again, and what a blessing, a faithful ambassador. So this morning, I want you to consider, number one, if you're taking notes, a plea for faithful ambassadors. A plea for faithful ambassadors. I see, first of all, a plea, a subpoint there, from our loving Savior. A plea from our loving Savior. I want you to go back to the book of Isaiah, if you will. In Isaiah chapter number 6, we find that Isaiah, after the king had died, he sees the Lord, he sees God high, holy, and lifted up. The king was Uzziah, and he finds that it was in that year that Isaiah gets this vision. We read of the vision in Isaiah chapter number 6, and many of us would be familiar with it, but I want to read just to grab the context here. In verse number 1, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. By the way, we need to get that kind of glimpse of God. We need to see God in his rightful place. He's not the man upstairs. He is God. He is the holy God, the creator of the universe. Yes, he loves me, and yes, he says that he is all sorts of things to us with regard to his relationship to us, and I'm thankful for that. But oh, we must have a high view of our God. In verse number 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. See, when we see God in his rightful place, you know what happens? We see ourselves in our rightful place. You know what the best antidote, if you will, the best remedy for pride is? Seeing God in his rightful place. Because all of a sudden you start seeing God in his rightful place, it'll humble you in a moment. Isaiah says, woe is me. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And then notice verse 8. This is where I see, we talk about this plea for faithful ambassadors, and I see it first from our loving Savior. Here in verse number 8, we find that the verse of Scripture that many of us are familiar with from this text. Also, I heard Isaiah's recounting what he hears, the voice of the Lord. And here's what God said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I would say to you this morning that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, that while he was during his earthly ministry, when he saw the fields, he prays and he says this. He tells his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Why? For the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's a plea for faithful ambassadors. We are ambassadors, but there's a plea for faithful ambassadors. The wise man in Proverbs, he tells us that a faithful ambassador, what he brings is health. And we find this morning that as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a position that we have. It's a position of privilege, as I preached 2 weeks ago. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Do you hear the plea of our loving Savior? The plea of our loving Savior. He gave us the Great Commission. We're familiar with it. We understand the responsibility that has been ours, the privilege that is ours. And we see this plea of our loving Savior. We see it here in Isaiah 6, and Isaiah responds with those words, here am I, send me. You know, the amazing thing is Isaiah did not even know what the task would be at the time of surrender. You know why? He saw God in his rightful place, and it really didn't matter what the task was. If God was looking for a volunteer, he said, here am I, send me. And God went on to tell him in the next several verses through the end of the chapter what his responsibility would be, and then also told him that the people wouldn't listen to him. Isn't that encouraging? See, sometimes what happens is we think, oh, well, we're going to go do this because everyone wants to hear it, and then somebody doesn't want to hear it and you get discouraged. No, we do it because of obedience. We do it because that's our position. We are his ambassadors. And a faithful ambassador bringeth health. And there's a plea for faithful ambassadors. The Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 14, as he's speaking there, he says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. We see a plea for faithful ambassadors first from our loving Savior. But number two, we see a plea for faithful ambassadors from a lost sinner. From a lost sinner. Turn to the book of Luke, if you will, and I referenced the passage in chapter 14, but I want you to look at Luke 16, and I want you to understand here, we see the plea of our loving Savior, but then we see a plea from a lost sinner. In Luke chapter 16, God gives to us the account here of the rich man and Lazarus. Many of you would be familiar with it. The Bible tells us in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about hell. Hell's a real place. I understand today there are people that try to deny the existence of hell. They talk about annihilation and all this sort of thing. And no, listen, hell is a real place. And then the Bible tells us this, that death and hell are cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death in Revelation chapter 20. It's a real place. And it's not a place. I've had people tell me, as I've talked to them about needing to be saved, they say, oh, I know I'm going to hell. I'm going to go and party with my buddies. No, you're not. It's a place of torment. It's a place of separation. And the worst thing about hell is that you're separated from God for all of eternity. And we find that here, that he's in this place of torment, this rich man. And the Bible, listen, he didn't go to hell because he was rich, by the way. People don't go to hell because they're rich. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen? And we know that death is not physical death, it's spiritual death. And we understand that we must be redeemed, we must be reconciled, we must be born again. And if you're not born again, then you go to hell, eventually the lake of fire. If you're saved by the grace of God, you go to heaven. Praise God. My conversation, my citizenship is in heaven. I belong to Him. We sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, hallelujah. But we see this plea from this lost sinner. Notice in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice initially his request is for himself. His request is to have some level of comfort in this place of torment. But Abraham responds in verse 25 and says, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, notice in verse 26, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So I want you to understand, listen, there's no place where you can go just for a little while and you're going to... No. This teaching, this false teaching of purgatory, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, all right? When you die, there's two places that you can go for all of eternity, and the reality is that you can't change from one to the other. It's impossible. Your fate is sealed. That's why it's so important what you do with Jesus today. That's why in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, Paul will say, today is the day of salvation. That's why in Proverbs, the wise man says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. That's why James says, what is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. How many of us can look back at our lives and be like, man, look at how quick life went. Look at how quick life went. Listen, some of us are at the age where previously in our lifetime we thought the age that we're currently at was old. And now we try to convince everybody that it's still young. Amen? Life goes so quickly. All of a sudden, this lost sinner, his plea changes dramatically. In verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. What's significant about this rich man now pleading that someone would go to his father's house? Well, see, this man, according to verse 28, had five brothers. He had five brothers. He says, for I have five brethren, that he, Lazarus, may testify unto them, my five brothers. Why? Lest they also come into this place of torment. There's a plea from our loving Savior, but there's a plea from a lost sinner. This lost sinner, God gives us the opportunity to see this interaction, to understand this interaction. And this man, all he is concerned about at this very moment in his life, of course his life has ended, he's in hell, but at this moment as God gives us this record, all he's concerned about is his five brothers. Why? He don't want them to come there. He's in hell. He's in the torment. He understands that there's a great gulf fixed that you cannot pass from one to the other. And he says, then send him to my father's house because I have five brothers. I don't want my brothers to come here. Notice what the Bible says. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What does he say? They have the word of God. Let them hear them. Last week, Luke 24, what did Jesus do? Well, starting in Moses and all the prophets, he declared unto them all the things pertaining unto himself. Now we find that Abraham says they have Moses and they have the prophets. And notice in verse 30, this rich man, he says, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." This, I believe that he's sincere in what he's saying. He truly believed. But here's the reality. That's not how God chose for it to work. God didn't, he's not, listen, the angels don't proclaim the gospel. He did not design it so that people would rise from the dead and go tell people and they'd see this great miracle. No, he commissioned us to be his ambassadors. And this rich man is pleading a plea for faithful ambassadors. He wants this man to go. Why? Because he doesn't want his brothers to go to hell. Can I tell you this morning, though you might not be able to hear their voices, there are billions of people on this earth that need a faithful ambassador. They need somebody to go and tell them that Jesus is the way. But sometimes what happens is our mind can't fully wrap around the billions of people. So let me make it real personal. There are people in your neighborhood that need a faithful ambassador. There are people in your neighborhood. There might be some people in your family that need a faithful ambassador. Some people in your neighborhood. Some people in your office where you work. Some people, you understand what I'm saying. Because sometimes we look at the billions and we think, how in the world are we going to reach the billions? But it just starts sometimes with crossing the street, with talking to somebody at the office, talking to a family member. There's a plea for faithful ambassadors. We see it first from our loving Savior, but then we see it here in Luke 16 from a lost sinner. And Abraham says in verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You know how much that encourages me this morning? Here's why it encourages me. Because we have the power of the gospel. Sometimes we think, well, if God would do some miracle, they would just believe. If God would do... No, no, no. We got this book. And this book is powerful. And Abraham says, if they won't hear this, they're not gonna believe even if they see some great miracle. So this morning, a faithful ambassador. I ask the question, what kind of an ambassador am I? A plea for faithful ambassadors. Number two this morning, the pattern of faithful ambassadors. What is the pattern? Why is it that someone would say, why do we read in Proverbs 13 this verse of Scripture about a faithful ambassador's health? What is it about their behavior, the pattern of their life, that would cause someone to identify them as being a faithful ambassador? So this morning, if we're looking at what kind of an ambassador am I, and we're trying to determine, am I a faithful ambassador? There's certain characteristics, if you will, certain attributes about your life and my life that should be present, the pattern of a faithful ambassador. What's a faithful ambassador look like? Well, I believe that we see it first in the life of the disciples. Look in Acts chapter 8, if you will. In Acts chapter number 8, we see the faithfulness of these disciples here in this really highest point of persecution as we've read through the book of Acts from the first chapter till now in chapter 8. As you understand all that's going on, this height of persecution there in Jerusalem, it was a great persecution. The church was scattered abroad because of this. And all the believers of the church. Now, the thing that's interesting about Acts chapter number 8 is that the leaders of the church, well, they stayed in Jerusalem. It was the people that were scattered abroad. And the Bible says this in verse number 4 in Acts chapter number 8, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what does the Bible say, preaching the word. You know what a faithful ambassador does? They seize the opportunities. So, well, God's just not giving me any opportunities. Are you praying for them? You know, sometimes it's interesting about opportunities. Sometimes they're hard to see. What do I mean by that? Well, at the moment, it's hard to see the opportunity, and afterwards, you might see the opportunity and say, man, I missed that opportunity. See, they seized the opportunity. They went everywhere. Listen, they were facing great persecution, hardship, difficulty. They could have left from Jerusalem and they could have decided to do a whole host of things because of the great persecution that they suffered, because they had to leave. They could have complained and they could have protested and they could have, but you know what they did? They went everywhere preaching the word. They're faithful ambassadors. Can I tell you that as you look at this portion of Scripture in Acts chapter number 8, it's in this passage where you find that the gospel gets into Samaria, the place where they would probably least like to go. God was at work. And I'm thankful that I can look at this example, a pattern of faithful ambassadors. They seize the opportunities. I believe that a prayer, something like this, God, would you give me opportunity today? Would you give me opportunity this week to speak to somebody about you? I believe that's a kind of prayer that God would delight in answering. Amen? You say, well, I'm praying for a Corvette. I'm not sure that's a prayer that God delights in answering. But He delights in answering the prayer of, would you give me an opportunity to be your ambassador, your representative, to pray them, to plead with them, to be reconciled to God. Because that's the purpose of an ambassador. We pray, God, would you give us an opportunity? And we seize the opportunity. I see it in the life of Matthew. Turn back to Matthew chapter 9, if you will. In Matthew chapter number 9, God gives us the opportunity to read of the calling of Matthew. Matthew was a publican, not very well liked. Amen? Tax collector. That's what a publican is. And here's the deal. They were representing the Roman Empire, and they could exact whatever they wanted to exact, and whatever they got extra than the Romans required, they got to keep for themselves. They were not well-liked people. But Jesus calls Matthew. Matthew's life has changed. Becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it here. Notice in verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in his house, in the house, we know from Luke 5 it was Matthew's house, and it tells us that, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Again, Luke 5 tells us that it was the house of Matthew, and it tells us that it was a great feast. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why did the Pharisees say that? Well, because they were so far above. They were blinded. Jesus heard that in verse 12, and he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why do I bring us to this passage of Scripture to talk about the pattern of faithful ambassadors? Because I want you to see not only seizing the opportunity from the disciples in Acts chapter 8, but I want you to see the length by which Matthew went through. Sometimes it's going to cost you something to be a faithful ambassador. The Bible tells us that he opens his house and there's a great number of people there. What was the purpose? Was it just to have a party? No. Jesus was there. And Jesus is going to talk to these. They came and sat down, and we find that these that are there, this great company, and begin to look at Matthew, and I think about his passion, if I could say that this morning, that after he rose and followed Jesus, you know what his desire was? Were for others to see and meet and know who Jesus is. I referenced it from after preaching at the youth rally a couple of weeks ago. Brother Jeff mentioned it this morning in Sunday school as well. But the reality is that David says in Psalm 34 and verse number 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And why does he say that? Because he experienced the goodness of God, and therefore he wanted others to experience the goodness of God. Matthew had his life changed because of Jesus. And so now what does Matthew want to do? He wants others to meet Jesus. I told that man Carlos yesterday that I met at his front door. I said, listen, I just want to tell you what Jesus did for me and what he can do for you. Why? Because Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning we begin to think about this. Listen, there may be times that it's an inconvenience for us, quote unquote. It may change our schedule. It might require us to take somebody and have coffee or take somebody and have lunch. Why? Because I want to do the work of being an ambassador. I want them to know that I truly care about them. Why? Because I want them to be reconciled to God. I want them to go to heaven when they die. And it may cost us something. It may cause us to have to get out of our comfort zone. You know, we all have a comfort zone, don't we? We all have a comfort zone. It may require us to get out of our comfort zone. Sit down with somebody and ask them some questions about where they're from. Take a little interest in their life. Why? So they can have that opportunity to be able to share the gospel with them. Be able to share the gospel with them, building those relationships to be able to share the gospel, being careful not to allow them to influence you. We got to be careful of that. But the reality is that we find in Matthew that after he met the Lord and he begins following, it says that he has this feast at his house. I've invited people to my house that are lost. I've gone and taken people to lunch. I was sharing with someone in our church just this past week. I sat at their house and they were having some work done and they were asking about the individual, how I met him and so on and so forth, because I had given them the recommendation. And I said, you know, this guy, he came to church a couple of times. He did some work here and had opportunity to be able to talk to him a few times and what have you. And then I took him to lunch one day. I sat there for a couple hours with him at lunch, share the gospel with him. He grew up a different world religion, and he was still kind of looking at that path, but he knew the truth, and we chatted, and he didn't get saved. I wish he did, but he didn't get saved. And I told him this when he left that meeting. I said, listen, you ever got questions? You know, I'd love to be able to connect with you again, so on and so forth. And just a couple of years later after that, he had a relative die. I get a text on my phone from this guy, saying, hey, would you pray for me? He's still not saved. But you're trying to reach people. You're trying to reach people. Listen, I fail more times than I do it the right way. But the reality is that sometimes I often say Ronnie goes to Walmart to meet people and I don't. I go to get in and get out. But sometimes it's a change in our schedule that God will allow us to be that faithful ambassador, that we seize the opportunity, that we're willing to pay the price of being a faithful ambassador. We look at the life of the Apostle Paul. He's writing. Look at Romans chapter 1, if you will. We'll look at a few verses in the book of Romans. He's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We find that the Apostle Paul understood what it was to be an apostle, but he also understood what it was to be an ambassador. And now as the Apostle Paul is writing to these believers in Corinth, and he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, and he explains to them the privilege and the purpose, and we now look at this truth of what does it mean to be a faithful ambassador. The plea is provided to us, but the pattern, and we see in the life of the Apostle Paul in verse 14 of Romans chapter 1, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Why does he have this perspective of being indebted? Why is it that he looks at this from this perspective that I am debtor? What did he owe to these individuals? Was it that he went through his whole life borrowing from people and he was indebted to everyone? No. It was that he had been entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was entrusted to him was not just for him. It was to be for all people. Just like when we read in the account of the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and they bring those good tidings, those glad tidings of great joy, that the reality is that he says, unto you, but to all people. And Paul says, I'm debtor. Why? Because God gave me something that really, yes, it saved my soul, but it's for you, to tell you about how much God loves you and that he'd save you. So then what does he say in verse 15? So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I wonder this morning, are we prepared to be a faithful ambassador? Can we say that we're ready? When that opportunity comes, that we're ready to seize the opportunity, that we're prayed up and we have the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that we have the opportunity to be able to go to the book, the Bible, and be able to give the truth of God's Word. Why? Because the Bible gives clarity. The Bible is God's Word and it's profitable and it gives clarity, and people will have their objections and they'll have their comments and they'll have their thoughts from whatever religious background they have. But the reality is, we say, what does God say? What does the Bible say? And Paul says, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. And then he says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The reality is that in our lives, the pattern of faithful ambassadors, that we should not be ashamed. We see a tire with the idea, bumper stickers, other things of I am not ashamed or unashamed and what have you. And the reality is that there are times in our lives, if we'd be honest, that we might find ourselves in a circumstance, in a situation where we might not say that we're ashamed. We might use the word I'm a little embarrassed, or I'm a little, you know, I'm just kind of, I'm not a people person. I don't like to talk, and I just kind of, but what did we do? We failed to seize the opportunity. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Listen, I've had so many people reject and get angry. I've had people cuss at me and whatever, tell me they're going to call the police on me, so on and so forth. That's all fine. You know, it's not my job. It's not my responsibility to see them trust Christ. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. And I don't have to be ashamed about what I know to be true, because they disagree with me. I don't have to be ashamed of it. Amen? That's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my everything. Would you be ashamed of your wife or your husband? Would you be ashamed of your children? If you're sitting there with a, and somebody says, is that your wife? And you just kind of, no, you should, that would be terrible. Would it not? How much more wonderful is our Savior? You say, I have the best wife in the world. I'm glad you think that. I'm being sincere. I'm glad you think that. Every husband ought to think that they have the best wife in the world. Amen? But I want you to know that as Joy Clemens sang from this pulpit, somebody reminded me of that this past week, he is more than wonderful. He's more than your mind can conceive. Our God is so great, and I should not be ashamed of him. A faithful ambassador is going to seize the opportunities. They're going to go out of their way. They're going to allow for their schedule to be interrupted, pay a price. They're going to be unashamed. We find that in the book of Romans, Paul says in chapter 9 and chapter 10, he makes these statements about having this desire and this heaviness that his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh, the speaking of Jewish, other Jewish people, that they would be saved. Notice in Romans chapter 9 and beginning in verse number 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Notice in chapter 10 and verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Notice what Paul is saying. In chapter 9 and chapter 10, Paul has this heavy heart. Listen, Paul was going to heaven. There's no doubt that if you read the New Testament, there's absolutely no doubt that Paul had confidence in his conversion. There's absolutely no doubt that the Apostle Paul knew to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. He knew that he was going to heaven. In fact, he says to the believers in Philippi that he was in a strait betwixt two. What was the strait betwixt two? Having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And he had said to the same church in Philippi, those believers, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Why? Because I'm going to heaven. But Paul had this burden for others to be saved. Can I tell you that a faithful ambassador should have a burden? have a burden for people to be saved, to come to the truth of salvation, to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a burden. A burden. I preached before, I mentioned a few weeks ago, I didn't preach the message, but I referenced the message where the man of God wept. Paul served and ministered with tears. He had a burden for people. And I wonder, as we think about this truth of a faithful ambassador, we ought to have a burden. I know that in our prayer list that we have a list for salvations on Wednesday evening and we have names on there, but I wonder, you know who the best person is to pray for those people? Is the one that put the name on the list. You know why? I don't know who most of them are. But you do. And whoever else is reading our prayer bulletin, they don't know who most of them are, but you do, because you put them on the list. And you should have a burden for lost people. Why do we go out and try to share the gospel? Well, because we're commanded to do so. And that's the number one reason. We go out of obedience. But can I tell you that we ought to have a burden? We have a burden. Habakkuk had a burden. Paul had a burden. In Romans chapter number 15, notice what Paul says nearing the end of this book in chapter 15 and verse 19. In Romans 15, verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. We don't take the time to look at Romans 10 when Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Listen, this morning, we see that there's a plea for faithful ambassadors. First from our loving Savior, then from a lost sinner. We see there's a pattern for faithful ambassadors. But I want you to see finally this morning, and we'll make it quick, number three this morning, a prize for faithful ambassadors. A prize for faithful ambassadors. This morning, as I begin to think about this truth and the understanding that one day I'll see my Savior face to face, what a glorious day that will be. But I would submit to you this morning that outside of your own salvation, the greatest privilege of a Christian is to see a lost sinner bow their head and trust Christ as their personal Savior. It's absolutely glorious to have that opportunity. If you've ever had that opportunity, you know how wonderful it is that God would allow you to be the vessel. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. Jesus is the Savior. But He chose to use us as His ambassadors. And there's a prize. The Bible speaks about crowns, and we understand this truth, but we look this morning and we begin to understand the privilege of telling someone about Jesus. And then when someone bows their head and their heart and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I mean, hallelujah, it is absolutely wonderful. It's the greatest experience outside of your own personal salvation, your own personal conversion, that I believe you can have as a Christian. It's awesome when you would have the privilege of seeing that. When we begin to think about this prize, I would say that there's a twofold aspect of the prize for faithful ambassadors. The first aspect would be that we're pleasing our Savior today. We're pleasing our Savior today. If you're a faithful ambassador, then God is pleased with you. We find that it is true that as we live our lives, that we can live in such a way that is pleasing to Him, and we understand that we can live in such a way that God is not well pleased. And I believe this morning that having God's favor upon us and God being pleased with us is a great reward. I pray for God's favor. But you understand that God's favor comes to those who are living in obedience. I'm thankful that the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth to the repentance. But the reality this morning is that God's hand of favor, His good hand of favor, is upon those that are living a life of obedience. The second aspect of this prize for faithful ambassadors is seeing fruit in eternity. I want you to understand this morning that as a faithful ambassador, again, it's God who gives the increase. But I would argue that if you're not actively planting and watering, you're probably not going to be the one that's going to see the increase, even though God's the one that gives it. So as you're engaged in that ministry of giving and being a faithful ambassador, what joy to think about seeing fruit in eternity. I'm talking about being in heaven. Listen, the most wonderful thing about heaven is seeing our Savior. In fact, if our Savior's not there, it's not heaven. That's what people talk about, the streets of gold. Listen, what makes heaven heaven is the presence of our Savior. We understand that this morning. But can you imagine having the privilege of seeing someone else in heaven for all of eternity because God allowed you to be the vessel to share Christ with them? That's awesome to think about that. That there'd be others in heaven. Listen, if you've ever led someone to Christ, if you've ever had the opportunity to see that, I can see images in my head right now of people that one day I will see in heaven. That God allowed me. I'm going to see a lot of people in heaven, but there's some people that I'm going to see that God let me personally be involved in seeing them saved. That's awesome. That's awesome. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice what Paul says as he's writing to this church. It's a church that Paul had the privilege of being able to go and preach the gospel in the city of Thessalonica, and people got saved, and there's great persecution and opposition and all those things going on. But now, as Paul is writing back to this church in Thessalonica, notice what the Bible says in verse 19. And we're catching the very end of this chapter and the thought here, but notice he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Notice this, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." You know what I think Paul had in his mind as he's writing, obviously in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God? I believe that he had in his mind and in his heart as he's writing these verses that there are going to be people that he has the privilege of seeing in glory because they got saved. Why'd they get saved? Well, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But how did they hear? They had to have a preacher. Paul understood he was an apostle, but he understood that he was an ambassador. And Paul went to Thessalonica and he went there and he preached the gospel and people got saved. God used him as the instrument, as the vessel to give them the gospel. And Paul says, "You're our glory and our joy." I wonder this morning, is there anyone in your mind that you can see at this moment that you'll see in heaven? Because God allowed you the opportunity to share the gospel with them and they got saved. I hope that there's several that you can see. The prize for faithful ambassadors. And I remind you of a song. We read some of it a few weeks ago when Brother Gardner was here on that Sunday night. The title of the song is, "Have I Done My Best for Jesus?" But I just want you to think this morning about the first two lines of the chorus for that song. Of course, as we sing the songs, we sing the verse and then the chorus, the verse, the chorus, the verse, the chorus. The chorus is sung repeatedly. The first two lines of the chorus of that great hymn are this: "How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the lost that I have lifted?" It's what the songwriter wrote. The second line says this: "How many are the chained I've helped to free?" I can't save anyone and neither can you. But God chose to use us. And here's the reality this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're an ambassador. If you're not saved this morning, you need to be saved because you're lost. And like the rich man in Luke 16, you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire because of your sin. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's because of your sin. The wage of sin is death. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, to pay for your sin so that you could be saved. And he wants you to be reconciled. But this morning, if you're saved, you're an ambassador. The question is this: what kind of an ambassador am I? And only you can answer the question. Only I can answer the question for myself. What kind of an ambassador am I? Because the wise man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in Proverbs, said, "A faithful ambassador bringeth health." Oh, that God would help us to be faithful ambassadors. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray that in these moments of invitation that you'd have your will and way. God, I've made it clear already the questions that ought to be pondered. And so now we trust you to work in hearts and lives as only you can. If there's one lost, I pray they'd come. We could take a Bible. They'd trust Christ today. I pray for those that are saved. We are ambassadors. What kind of an ambassador am I? Lord, have your will and way. Work as only you can. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Kimberly's going to play quietly on the piano. As she does, the altar is open. If the Lord spoke to you this